Hey, Startup Hustle listeners, before we get into today's episode, I've got some exciting news to share. If you've enjoyed the insights and stories here at Startup Hustle, you're going to love what we have in store at our brand new podcast called Product Driven. I've always described myself as a product guy first, entrepreneur, software engineer, but really a product guy. I love building products. Many people struggle, though, with how to take a product idea and build a tech product, while software engineers struggle to understand the business side of things and they just don't see the big picture. My new podcast, Product Driven, is about that gap between business and the tech side of building software. It's designed for startup founders, tech leaders, software engineers, and anyone who loves tech and startups. Thank you for being part of this community. Enjoy this episode of Startup Hustle, and please subscribe to Product Driven in your podcast app, and you can also check it out on YouTube. Thank you so much.
And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle, a podcast for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs. If you want to start, own, or build a business, then you're in the right place. We bring you the real truth about what it's like to take something from concept to launch. From growth, innovation, experience, failing, or winning big, we've got you covered. So let's get down to business with another episode of Startup Hustle, brought to you by Fullscale.io.
What's up, hustlers? Welcome back. This is Andrew Morgans, your host of today's episode of Startup Hustle, covering all things e-commerce, Amazon, entrepreneurship. Remember, this is a podcast by founders for founders. So without further ado, I'd like to bring in our guest for today's show, Isabella. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Andrew. I've been looking forward to this podcast for a long time, ever since I met you.
Yeah, well, welcome. You know, I think I've already been on your show at least once. We're going to have a few more of these. But just for everybody listening, Isabella Hamilton is the founder of RankBell. We're going to get into what RankBell does and, you know, how it can help you increase your Amazon sales rank. But this wouldn't be Startup Hustle without talking about the founders, why, and, you know, why she got into this business and some of her story. So before we get started, shout out to our sponsor for today's episode, Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Isabel, let's start at the beginning. Like, I think we have some things in common in regards to, like, you know, not growing up here as a young person. But I would love to hear in your own words, like, some of your origin story. And did you always know you're going to be an entrepreneur? Like, you know, what was your first thing you kind of got into that really just, you know, lighted a fire in you?
Oh, my goodness. That's how far we're going, right?
Yeah, I want to go as far back as you want.
I love it. Well, I have all the time in the world. We always make time for important things, right? So this is very important. I always love sharing my story, and it always comes out not exactly the same. I mean, the facts remain the same, but it's like the energy from the interviewer is what guides the conversation. So I always look forward to that. Like, how is this one going to be? So thank you for bringing me on. I am from Romania, so I definitely grew up very different than somebody growing up in US. And I've always wondered why I had to be born in Romania and not a place like here. And, you know, I used to be mad at the fact that I didn't have what other kids would have in other countries, such as America. So I grew up kind of like in that sense of like, I was very happy being there, but it was always like, why could I not have been born in another country where it's easier, where I don't have to struggle as much? But now looking back, now that I live in US, I'm like, you know what? That was such a great experience because that journey has taken me from that place to where I'm at right now.
Training ground.
So for those listening, you probably know about Romania, but I grew up in a communist country. We had a dictator for president. We didn't always have what we needed. And just by listening to other people's stories, I don't feel like my story is that heavy anymore, just because I meet all these people that are on my podcast and just in real life that I'm like, oh my God, your story is fucked up. Like,
you mean you meet other successful, quote unquote, successful people that also had a hard upbringing? Yeah,
exactly. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm embarrassed to say, but you know, everybody has their own story. So for me growing up, not having everything that we needed, you know, like heat in the winter, having to walk to school and snow up to like your chest, and not having the basic necessities. I remember having hot water once a week for a few hours, for like 2 to 3 hours. And they would put a schedule in our building. They would say, okay, Thursday you have hot water from like 2 to 4. So everybody would, I mean, we would obviously like clean ourselves during the week, but you know, that was the time where you're like, okay, I want to take a bath. And you'll meet a lot of Europeans that are just obsessed with baths. And mm-hmm. I think that's what it is. And you come to US and everybody has a shower. I'm like, where is the freaking bath? Like, I want to take a bath. But
can we stop there for a second? Because I think there's some funny stories. Like, so growing up in Africa, we didn't have showers either. And so, like, you know, I was 16 when we came back. I had never showered. I go to, like, public school, and they're all showering together. And I'm like, what? Like, you know, like, it was just, we would, you know, it might sound gross to some people, but I don't really care what it sounds like. We would, like, spend so much time boiling water and getting it hot to take a bath that it was probably, like, you know, mom would take a bath, then one of us would take a bath. Like, we would probably double use the water. You know,
we did that plenty of times in Romania, 100%. I mean, you can't waste the water. And to top yours, maybe you did the same. We would use the same water for like toilet water. Because now you already had the tub full of water, and there were days when we had absolutely no water. So you would use that, you know, for your...
Fill up the toilet there to flush it down.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. And so, like, you know, simple things like that, people will be like, I like hot tubs now. And it's not maybe for all the reasons that everyone does. But for me, it reminds me just like I liked being, and the bathtubs were never big enough for me. You know, like at 6'3", like at least now it's just, you know, tubs are small here in the US. But like a hot tub feels like it's that comfort thing for me. I don't know. Yeah. It just feels like growing up, and like how many people have lived without electricity, you know, or but those were common things growing up. Yeah. In Romania.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I love that you're able to relate to that, because most people that I talk to, I mean, now that this comes up in conversation, I don't even think I've ever mentioned this on a podcast, the fact that like we used to wait for water and take a bath once a week. We used to do the same thing. We would heat up water, and you can imagine how hard that was in winter. Because the apartment was not heat up. Like most of the time we would have like just a little space heater, and we would make sure that one room was warm enough mm-hmm. that we could all hang out. And then, you know, when it was time to go to sleep, like we were so cold, and we would have all these like super heavy blankets on us. But again, you know, it wasn't just me, it was everyone around us that was kind of living in the same thing. So like our happy times was like for Christmas, when we would get, you know, and I know it sounds silly, but like we would get like oranges and bananas. That was like a privilege. Like for us to get that, we're like, wow, like this is amazing.
Yeah.
And, you know, for Easter, we would get one new set of clothing.
So is that what you're getting your son this year? Oranges and apples? Is
that
what
he's getting? Oh my God, this kid has so much that he's like, Mommy, can you order me something from Amazon? This is what I want. He's 5 years old. I'm like,
sending you links.
Yeah, exactly. Next thing you know, he's going to order himself. He's like, oh, do you push this button, add to cart? I'm like, yes, but don't push it. Who knows what I'm going to wake up at the door with? Because, you know, the information is all there. But no, I think I'm definitely overcompensating the fact that I didn't have much. And it comes a point where it's like, okay, when is it too much? I don't want to spoil him to the point where he doesn't understand. But also, you don't want your kids to go through what you went through. You just, you know, hope that
protect them from that. Yeah.
You just hope that they're going to turn out fine. I mean, I do work a lot. I spend a lot of my time working. And going back to Romania was definitely interesting. It was a period of my life that it was tough, and it just didn't feel like a place where I want to spend the rest of my life in. So I've always looked forward for ways to get out of the country. Even though nobody that I knew had gone to US, it was just kind of a dream that I built up in my head. I would go to sleep every night and picture this amazing country my dad used to tell me about. He's never been, but what he's heard was that it was amazing. So I would go to sleep in my, you know, I would think of all these things, and I was basically visualizing. I didn't know what that meant, but now looking back, I'm like, oh my God, I was totally visualizing and manifesting a completely new world. It's just because I was a kid and I wasn't, you know, I didn't have a mentor or anybody to direct me on how I can achieve this sooner. It took me many years to finally get to that dream of coming to US. And once that happened, my whole world changed.
Yeah. And I think that just speaking to that to our listeners, like something that drives me, is I was American. So, you know, coming back, I was born in Montreal, but raised in Africa from when I was about three. So, you know, but we were coming back and forth. We'd come back to raise the money. I'd stay with my grandparents or something for 6 months and we'd go back. So I never really like went to school or anything like that. But it was, there's this pride in being an American, like as we go through all this crap that we won't even have to get into. But it was just like when we were abroad, America is looked at from the other parts of the country or other parts of the world with just this hope, you know, like we are better than, or there's like the ability to be an entrepreneur or create a dream, or like, you know, that American dream thing, you know, is real. And there's a big part of me that's when I'm abroad, we're representing that to a lot of people, you know? And so I get disappointed when our country is anything less than that to everyone. Because when you realize what that means to families that are huddling in front rooms in the cold in Romania or other parts of the world, and you understand that sometimes just the hope of a better life somewhere else without so much struggle and pain and is enough to, like, you know, keep people going. And so when we fall short of that, and we have people here just bitching about, you know, lines at Walmart or something, I just get a fire inside of me that still remembers those times. And like, you know, the fact that I could go shower for 2 hours, I think, where I'm at now, you know, like my heater will just keep heating up water. So it's just like those little things, like that dream you had as a young girl to be in the US and manifesting that. You know, I would like to believe that there's a lot of little girls across the world that are, you know, kind of doing the same thing. And so it's on us to not let them down.
Oh, my God. That is so beautiful, Andrew. I love that. And, you know, one thing that's stuck with me is the gratefulness. Like every single day, even though I've been in US now for close to 18 years, I wake up every day being thankful that I'm here. You know, I never wanted to lose that, because it's easy to get lost in your everyday life and, you know, like you said, bitch about a Walmart line, right? And like, it's very easy to fall into that trap of, I deserve this. Whereas for me, I always think, my God, I am so grateful, like, you know, to be able to drive the car that I want, to be able to see the ocean. I'm in San Diego, California, for those who don't know. So, you know, every day, like if I am on my way to see a friend and they just happen to live by the beach, I'm like, oh my God, like how beautiful. And I'm always in awe of this beauty that I didn't get to see when I grew up. And the fact that I get to see it now, it reminds me of how blessed I am. Like my grandma, she passed away a long time ago from my mom's side. She's never even left her town. I think the furthest she's ever been was like in my city, which was maybe 20 minutes away. But she never got to experience the beauty of what an ocean looks like, or even a sea or the mountain. Because, you know, they lived even in tougher times than when I grew up in Romania. Like when I grew up, we were already amazing, right? Because we did have a place to live and we did have electricity. We did have hot water, even though it was coming once a week. Whereas for my grandma, she had 8 kids, no electricity in the village. Everything was heated with wood. She would have to, you know, cook all the time and clean and do all these things and not have diapers. She would use just like rags or shirts or what. I don't even know what they used back then. And even my grandpa, you know, he used to go to work, but he used to work for the cooperative, which is like the town's cooperative in a sense. So everybody in the town was working for the cooperative. Yeah. And the way they were working is like, you do this like land work and your payment is a kilo of potatoes, a kilo of sugar, a bottle of oil. Like this was the payment back then. So I can't even imagine. That's what I'm saying. When I grew up, we were already elevated. We were already living in paradise, if you really think about it. So, you know, for me to see that for my grandparents and then my parents and us living in Romania, and now where I'm at right now, I'm like, oh my God, it feels like 100 years apart, 1,000 years apart.
Yeah.
I lived then, like the internet wasn't a thing. And now here we are speaking, you know, thousands of miles away, and we're able to create this amazing income online without living our apartments or our homes. Like how amazing and how far we got. Like this, I am so blessed. Like how can I not wake up every morning and say thank you? I live in a miracle.
Yep. And I think that that's where we were as a struggle as maybe our upbringing was in different ways compared to like the average San Diego American or Kansas City American, you know. We were also blessed because we have the gift of perspective that they will never have. And, you know, the ability to overcome and understanding where we come from and where our parents were, our grandparents were, and the privilege we have that you have to give to your son. You know, that's something that we have that someone that hasn't, like you talked about those founders and the people you're talking to that are successful that have all had these stories. You know, without that story, it's so true, but it's like, you know, that is how you become who you need to be, you know? And, as philosophical as that might sound or whatever, it's like, you know, those are the things that when I'm looking back now and I'm going through the areas of my past that need some work, you know, or that need to be touched or processed or whatever the case might be, I'm just going to them with kindness and gentleness and basically being like, you know, these things were difficult times. What did I learn there that's changed, that's like formed me to be the man I am today? You know, seeing my dad cut up tire strips into a belt to use in the Jeep in the middle of the jungle because like he couldn't have us kids like sleeping out in the dark in the jungle, so he improvised and cut up a tire and like turned it into a car belt. Those are the kinds of things that make entrepreneurs, right? Like the ability to just, man, pivot or come up with something out of nothing or back against the wall. And you know, so many of those skill sets were because of the difficult times that challenged us and sharpened us. I want to push your story along just a little bit. So you came to the US about 18 years ago. Same for me, actually. Very close, maybe 17 years. So we've been here about the same time.
Wow.
But you come over here, like, obviously, at least your grandparents weren't entrepreneurs because they were part of the cooperative. I understand kind of what that's like. It's kind of like being part of the church, like if you're in that way. Was it something that you just like, you know, from childhood was like, I'm going to get out of Romania and that probably means business ownership, like kind of thing? I know we're in Amazon now, but when you first came to the US, was it school? Like, how did you first get into business, I guess, as much as you want to share?
Sure. So in Romania, I mean, I feel like for me, the next goal was get out of Romania. It was never like, oh my God, I'm going to become the CEO of a certain company. I wasn't even thinking that far. It was, how do I get out of this country? One, and everything else will follow. So I found this nanny program. It's called an Au Pair.
Okay, I've heard of it.
Exchange program where families in the U.S. Sponsor somebody from another country to come here for a year and study, go to school, but basically take care of their kids. And that was my ticket to coming to Romania. So as I said, you know, my main goal, and I was so laser focused on that, that nothing else could drift me away from it. And as you can imagine, it wasn't easy because I had no English. I was 20 years old. I was very naive. I didn't know anything about the world. But what I knew was that once I get to America, I made it. Like, I don't know why I had this feeling of, I just need to get there and everything will be fine from that moment on. So I put all my focus on it and I got to America and I was a nanny and I was focused at that point of sending money back to my family because my dad had to borrow money to send me in this program. It was $1,000, which it doesn't sound like a lot, but at that time it was somebody's salary for a whole year. Maybe more. So, you know, to be able to pull that off and have that money ready, my dad had to borrow. So I worked the whole year to be able to send that money back. I was only paid $140 a week for like 40, 50 hours work here. And I pretty much saved all of it until I was able to have my dad pay the loan. And then my next focus was, okay, now I'm here. How do I bring my family here? Because okay, now I'm here, but my family is still struggling in Romania. So my next goal was bring the family here. I wasn't thinking I'm going to get into business or do this. But you see how your goals kind of change once you reach it. And so I did what I could. I met some people. They were able to like sponsor my parents to come to US. And then I got my my sister and then lastly, my brother. So once they were all in US, then I was able to start thinking for myself, okay, now what is it that I want? And the one thing that I really wanted that I thought was going to be useful was to get my college degree in US. So it was all these goals that I kept putting that seemed impossible, you know, years ago. But I knew once I get one done that I can focus on the other. So then I was able to get my college degree and I'm like, okay, now what? Now I have a college degree. And I did it mostly because I realized how important it was at that time to be a college graduate in US. Like people look at you differently. They talk to you differently. Also the possibilities of getting a job. I wasn't even thinking I will ever own my own business per se. I mean, I've always been interested in making money and I've always had, you know, very open mind when it came to money and this exchange, this energy exchange, because that's all there is. And I never thought money was bad, even though I grew up in a country where it's like, oh, if you have money, you're a terrible human. For me, it was like, no, if I have money, I can help my family. If I have money, I can buy whatever I want. I can buy food. I can buy 10 showers if I wanted to, you know. So I never had that bad relationship with money, even though everyone around me did. So, you know, once I got my college degree, I mean, there were different jobs that I did. Like I cleaned houses at some point, you know, just here and there to make extra cash. I was being a nanny again here and there just to make extra money because I really wanted to become independent and have my own place outside of the families that I was working for. And eventually I decided to learn real estate because I was like, okay, this seems like a good opportunity for me because I love people. I love spending my time with people and I can serve them the best I can. And I studied that like it was like my life depended on it, like a lot, like to the point where I would dream at night about like all these answers in real estate. And for those who have studied real estate, it's another language. Like it's completely a complete new language. Like I didn't know what easement was and I didn't know like all these terms that I even forgot now because I don't do it anymore. But I did it and I started making some real money and I was like, oh my God, like you can actually make money by creating something. And it wasn't like a salary position compared to everything else that I've done before. You know, before I was like, okay, working as a nanny, you'll make $8 an hour. I knew exactly after 5 hours how much money I'm going to make. Whereas with real estate, it wasn't salary, it was all commission, where most people will try to stray away from because they're like, they need to know that they're getting that monthly fixed income, which is what keeps people on the wheel, by the way. But for me, I was like, no, I'm going to see what I can do and how much money I can make. So I did that for a while and it was fantastic. I did really, really great at it. And again, it is because of the relationship that I have with people and they trusted my opinion and they I trusted them. So it was a beautiful relationship where I was able to help them and I was getting monetary,
rewards,
in return, which was great. So I did that. And then I moved to Africa. I mean, I'm jumping a few steps, but I don't want to get into too much. But I moved to Africa with my husband at that time, moved to Africa for Rwanda for a year and a half. And then after that, we moved to Burma for a year and a half. So 3 years I was out of US. And it just kind of reminded me of like being in Romania again. I mean, obviously very different scenarios and different people and different culture, but in the same sense of like, you know, third world country, people struggling, and it brought back all these like energy and memories. And I'm like, oh my God, like I'm here in the space. But it was a very good experience for me to remember that there's other people struggling. But I wanted to bring this up because it ties into how my Amazon journey started. Because Amazon was actually the only company that was able to ship products to us overseas. Like if I wanted to buy something from Walmart or Nordstrom or whatever, you name it, they wouldn't be able to deliver it. Even though we had like a military PO box that should be easily, you know, transferable, but no, Amazon was the only one. And it got me thinking, how is this company doing this extra step for consumers and not all the other ones? So it really made me think like, okay, they're doing something amazing. They really care about their shoppers. How can I be part of it? How can I be part of it? Like, what is it that I can do to make some money with it? And for me, internet money was never really a real thing. I was like, sure, yeah, you're a consultant at home. Like, what do you consult on? Like, it was, my mind didn't make it, also because I grew up in Romania. Like, if you go in a land and you work, you get some money. Like, where is all this money coming from the internet? How can people pay you for something that's not real, right? And kind of the same thing is happening now with like crypto and NFTs. I'm like, oh my God, what is going on? Anyway, we'll have to get into that on another episode, but I feel like I'm at the same place where I was like, okay, internet money. So just to show you how when you focus your intention on something, the universe will kind of conspire around that idea. And next thing you know, I have somebody messaging me saying, Isabel, I know, you know, you've lived in America for so long. Amazon is like doing these great things. I'm in Europe. Do you think you can help us list our store on Amazon? I was like, absolutely. At this point, I know zero of Amazon, right? But I'm willing to learn. I'm like, of course, we can do it. Let's do it. And, you know, I helped the guy like create a listing. How did I do that? Just by looking at all the other listings. Let's take pictures. Okay, how did the other people do it? And, you know, it wasn't like a paid gig or anything. I just wanted to help if I could. And next thing you know, this was like 8 years ago. So next thing you know, he puts his store online and he just starts making money, like real money. Imagine 8 years ago, picture with your phone, listing like one product, and they were just making bank. And he's like, oh my God, Isabel, thank you so much. I have another friend. Do you think you can do the same for him? Of course, absolutely. Of course. And I remember, I think he paid me like, I don't know, a few $100. And I'm like, oh my God, internet money is real. I'm rich now. Like, you know what I mean? He had that feeling of like, oh my God, I can actually create something for myself and make some money myself. And I'm helping people. And the next thing you know, that person recommended me to somebody else and somebody else and somebody else. And, you know, that's how Rangbell was created. But in the beginning, we were basically just doing kind of quality control for these products. So because they were all ordered in China, they would send them to me and I would give them like real feedback on, okay, this is how the product is packaged before it gets to Amazon and they start, you know, getting in trouble. And, you know, by doing all these quality control products, we realized that every time somebody orders a product on Amazon, the ranking moves up. Especially then when there was basically, there were not very many competitors. And I realized that could be like actually help somebody.
Gamified, it
can be turned into a business. So even like the term search, find, buy, like I discovered it like years ago before it was even a thing. Because it just makes sense. Like you search for a product, you find it and you buy it. And it kind of became a whole business around helping all these Amazon sellers rank their products to page one. And it's more relevant now in today's world than ever because of how big the competition is around Amazon products. There's just so many Me Too products that if you don't stand out in any way and if you're not on page one, it's going to be extremely, extremely hard for you to make it, to actually get the sales that you need to be able to like work from home, to have that laptop lifestyle that people are looking for.
No, thank you for sharing all of that. Like, just to add to that last part, what I would say to like listeners, one, there's so much of our story that's exactly the same or very similar, from being new to America and wanting to be educated. Like, that's why I went to school, was simply because I'm like, you know, I don't know that much about anything. And I want to like, you know, have some of this under my belt. I'm the first to get a degree in my family, you know, to real estate, to Africa, to, you know, how I found Amazon and people asking me and making $300 on a project and being like, oh my God, internet money.
That's so funny. And guys, just so you know, me and Andrew, we never talked about this. I mean, I knew we talked about you being in Africa and you shared some stories on my podcast, but this is not stage, guys. This is happening real life right now.
Yeah, it's like, I was just lighting up because I'm just like, that was exactly how I, you know, I work with my sisters and I brought my whole family here to Kansas City. They weren't in Romania, but they were across different parts of the US and, you know, brought us together. And it just became, what's next? What's next? It started with me. I need to get like stability for myself. And then I got stability for one sister. And then, you know, so much similarity. It just makes me smile. You know, I think whenever you grow up kind of tough, you like when you realize that if everything is stripped away, like what do you have? And you have, you know, your family, whether it's chosen or, you know, blood. But saying all of that, back to Amazon, I don't want to bore our listeners too much with my story that they've already heard. But you know, back to Amazon and the search, find, buy. And, you know, I've been in the space like 10 years ish, you know, and it was, the thing is that people are having a hard time. Just like we're like NFTs and crypto, we have to wrap our head around something new. A lot of Amazon sellers are simply having a hard time adjusting to the reality of what it is now. You know, like in the early days of the internet, just like in crypto, you could get crypto Bitcoin for a dollar. We all know that. And, you know, you can be like, well, it's worth $57,000 now. But I remember when it was a dollar. I remember that. I didn't understand it. I didn't buy it. I didn't understand it. Right. So on the Amazon side, you know, just what was capable in 2014, 15 isn't the same now. You have to be just like the rest of the markets. Like traditionally, to be a good business, you need to have brand and reputation, and have a story behind your brand, and have good customer service and provide value. And all those things are a must now, now that the internet has aged a bit. And that's all that's happened, you know, the difference in competition. And that's why people are going international. It's not just sourcing a product and having a low price anymore. You know, it's about creating a brand that people care about, and they want to interact with, and they want that authenticity piece. You know, so to everyone listening, it's not that like Amazon is not a great time to launch on Amazon or to get started on Amazon, or it's too late. It's simply not the same geography, or whatever you want to call it. It's not the same landscape as it used to be when we would take pictures. I was literally taking iPhone pictures with, I would go to like Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep. And because I found out that if we listed Mopar parts, which are like the OEM parts from the dealer, I made a deal with the dealership. Let me get access to your parts, because only they could get Mopar parts. I came in, I took my iPhone, and I took pictures of every part like in the bag and put those up on Amazon. You know, we're doing millions of dollars in sales from my iPhone photos. Just like, you know, that's how it was back then. And now we're doing crazy elaborate stuff that we spend thousands of dollars to get a listing, you know, to the same level. But it's so cool hearing it come from just a little bit different angle, but the same kind of trajectory. And then seeing like, oh, so they got rid of review manipulation. Okay, like, but some of those things still apply, like buying them and ranking them and average order value and keyword ranking and all those kinds of things were like things that were left over that those of us had to figure out, you know. And no one was putting out content on it. No one was saying, hey, even though you're looking at other listings that were doing good, if you were doing that 8 years ago, let's say that's 2014 or 15, like I was working then too, there weren't a lot of great listings. So, you know, there wasn't a lot to copy, you know, that we're doing great. It was just like we were figuring it out. So I guess one question I had, and then back to it. Well, first off, let's pause for a shout out to our sponsor for today's episode, Fullscale.io, helping you build software teams quickly and affordably, like a rank bell in a lot of ways. You know, if you're looking to develop a software, looking to bolster your team, Fullscale.io is a good place to start. But talking about real estate, so we talked about you going to Africa. I'm sure there was like a relationship there and maybe the dynamic changed. Why didn't you go back to real estate, you know, after your time in Burma and Rwanda, and instead you found the internet and you found Amazon and you wanted to be a part of that? But was real estate just like something that it'd been successful, but you were done with it, you know, and wanted to find something new? Or did life just take you there? What kind of happened there?
So I did real estate in San Diego in California, but then we had to move to all these places. So there was no way for me to continue that. I mean, where was I going to sell real estate in Africa, right? And then, you know, since I discovered that, I still have my license active. You know, so many years you have to pass a test. And, you know, I got so attached to it that every time that test come, I'm like, I have to do it. I have to do it. I cannot let this go. It was so hard for me to get the license that I think I will forever be a real estate licensee in California.
Okay.
So I'll always keep it. And it was just, you know, a part of my life at that point. And it's still great, but it's so different when you are able to create something that helps a lot more people on a bigger scale. And I feel like the internet does that. So my main goal in life was always to become financial free. And I recently I had changed that in a way because I finally realized what my purpose is in life and in this world. And I can share that with you if you're interested. But, you know, for the most part, I wanted to be financially free. And if I wanted to be financially free, I knew that there was going to be thousands and hundreds of thousands and millions of other people who want to do the same thing. So yeah, I can sell houses and make a person happy at a time and, you know, make 20, 30, maybe 50 grand commission or more in some cases, or I can help somebody change their whole life by helping them with the simple model that Amazon has blessed us with. I mean, you know, you look at Amazon and, you know, some people hate it, some people love it. We in the end, everybody has issues with it, but you know, at the end of the day is what makes all of us money, whether you're a seller, whether you're an agency owner, whether you run a PPC company, whatever you do in the end is because of Amazon that we're able to share our gift with the world and help other people create financial success and financial independence in their life. So I'm just so blessed to even have discovered the space when I did at that time and still be relevant today, because as you know, businesses change all the time. And, you know, one thing I want to talk about RankBell, if you'd allow me, is the direction where RankBell is going. So because you mentioned like review manipulation and rank manipulation, which is, you know, still very much a very important topic in Amazon, because when people are looking to use services such as mine, they may think, oh my God, you know, I know search find buy, it's kind of, you know, in the gray area, and what are we going to do with it? So I decided for the sake, not only for my company, but for those clients that I help to change a little bit directions. And I came up with an amazing service that's going to launch within the next month or two. And you didn't even know about this. I was waiting to talk to you to tell you, but we're actually going to go kind of back to basics when I first started and actually give the seller access to all this amazing data from the buyers. So as both of us know, and probably most of your listeners know, when somebody's looking for a product to sell on Amazon, they would first look on Jungle Scout or Helium 10 to see how much money a product is making. It's like, oh, great, this one is making 50 grand a month. This is my product, right? Next thing they do, once they find a supplier and they work with them on pricing and all that, they look at the one-star reviews, right? They're like, okay, how can I make this product better than the competition? So they'll skim through all the one-star reviews and create their product based on that. And then the way they know how to fix it later down the road is by receiving one-star reviews. So here I am challenging that for those listening and Amazon sellers all over the world. Why in the world would you ever want for somebody to give you a one-star review for you to fix the situation, fix any problem you have on your product? So what we are doing at RankBell, we are going.
I know you're going and I'm getting excited.
You okay, love it, don't you? I know. Yeah, I've been thinking about this for months and I'm like, you know what? It's finally time to take action on this. So basically what I'm doing that nobody, by the way, is doing in the Amazon business, in the Amazon space right now, is I will actually give a seller a report on how their product is doing. Guess on based on what? Not what us in the Amazon space think it's right, but how about we give the voice back to the buyers? So every time somebody orders your product, it's like, okay, Andrew, you scored 2 on packaging. Guess what? You should be able to score more. Then you're able to go back to your manufacturer and say, hey, you know, the packaging is like this or whatever the case may be. And then next month, you can see that now you're scoring on packaging, maybe 4. You can also see in relation to that how your sales are doing. So we will never have to wait for somebody to give us a one-star review. We're going to be able to give you those reports monthly, every single week or every single day as they come in with these things that you are doing great or not in business. Most of the successful companies, Andrew, that we know of, Coca-Cola, Adidas, Nike, Clinique, Estee Lauder, Chick-fil-A, for God's sake, all of these, guess what they do right? They always ask for the customer's response. Because me and you and the PPC agency owners and that person and that guru, we can only contemplate and just think of what the consumer is saying. Oh, the consumer wants to see great 7 pictures on your listing, right? They want to see it under this lighting and they want to see the bullet points. They want to see, but that's not entirely true. Yes, this is what attracts me to a listing. I'm an Amazon shopper. I buy all my shit on Amazon. Legit, I think 95% of my purchases in life are on Amazon. Like, it is what it is. But guess what I do? I do that first part. I see the images. First of all, I only buy on page one. I don't know if anybody else has the time to go on page two and three and 10. Maybe they have more time than me. But for me, I usually go to page one. I see the pictures, the good ones, the good quality. But guess the second thing what I do? I go and see the actual pictures from Mary and Joseph and Jack and see, oh, so this is what it actually looks like, right? So I'm looking for a real buyer's expression. I want to see what it looks like. I want to see what they're saying. And you're right. Some people go to the one-star reviews, especially if the pricing is, you know, let's say a little higher than like $50. If it's just like $10, $20, most people don't even look at it. They need it right now. Even if they know it's a shitty product, they'll use it once or twice. They're like, it will do the job right now. Of course, as you go and you buy products that are like $50, $100, you will spend more time. And then at that point, you may go on page two and three just to kind of check. But for the most part, people look on page one. They see the pictures. They want to see the real reaction from real buyers. And they look at one-star reviews. What if we can eliminate all of that before it even happens? So this is what RankBell is moving towards. We're going to create a whole new perspective on this product. Because now we're not talking about just selling products on Amazon. We are talking about creating brands that last a lifetime. Or a brand that you may be able to sell to an aggregator in 2-3 years or a year. We are creating brands here, Andrew, right? We're not just selling Me Too products anymore. Because nobody wants to see that anymore. You know, one time hit, yeah, it's great. But how do you create a brand when you get real feedback from your consumers that actually tell you how to create your product better?
Damn. And that's why I had you on the show, Isabella. That was fire. And I'm excited for you because I think that's the best way to go. I really do. Like, as a friend, I'm just like, that is an amazing area to go into. You know, it's something that we try to do with a million different things, right? We're trying to use PickFu. We're trying to use inserts. We're trying to use feedback emails to try to get that one-star review to come to us before they leave it. You know, exactly. We're buying brands and personally smaller brands and trying to fix up those things that are getting the one box review, yep, so to speak, you know, and try to improve those things. And so having a service that, you know, would give you real feedback on those. I remember, like, and here's something that's interesting is, like, we're working a lot with manufacturers that are going direct to consumer for the very first time, right? Like, they're getting rid of distributors or resellers or wholesalers, or they're creating a brand just to go direct and leave all of those in place. There's a whole bunch of different moves, right? But a lot of times those manufacturers have never gotten actual direct feedback from customers on their products. You know, it's been through the Hy-Vee or the Price Chopper or the Stroud, like the grocery stores or the malls or whatever, that are then giving, like Best Buy's giving them feedback on their stuff. And now the manufacturers direct on Amazon or e-commerce, wherever, are literally getting a chance to talk to their customers. And they're going in kind of blind. And like, as someone that has improved our services over the years by just listening to what, you know, the brands need, what manufacturers need, and know that it's improving it, it seems almost like ignorant to me for a brand to not sell direct to their customers and know what's going on. Like, in today's world, you need that direct, you know, that feedback loop. And so imagine being able to, instead of just stepping out and knowing if you're going to get blasted or like see what the market's like feedback is on this, you're getting live feedback in a loop that's like working well for you. I think that's an amazing, amazing idea. So I'll be excited to be a part of that and see it come out. No, that's really cool to hear about it here. And I think it's something that can stand the longevity. Like, it's got longevity, you know, to help brands, not just today, but that's something that's like always a need. You know, it's always a need to be getting that feedback. Like, I have a brand called Landlocked. I'm wearing a hat. You know, we cover things like Equality and Kansas City Pride and different stuff like that. And it's really been a brand that I've gotten to practice on over the last 10 years that I don't have to get anybody's permission to try the things I want to try. And, you know, I've got crypto checkout on the website and just, you know, I try all the different things on this brand. And I remember, like, I wasn't competing for any of the brick and mortars locally, even though that's kind of the like ego bragging thing here in KC is like, if you're in this store, you're in this store, different things. And I just didn't care to play the game. And I was like, e-commerce is my thing. I'm going to sell to people that love Kansas City that are all over the US. I'm just going to sell to the guy that loves Kansas City that's in Florida. And, you know, but I remember how impactful it was when I did a Christmas pop-up shop You know, it was like, it was a big deal to me at the time. It was like 10K for the booth and 10K for the inventory. So I was like 20K in and didn't know if I'd make my money back and, you know, all of those kinds of things when you're first starting out. But I was running the booth myself and I was literally listening just to customers like touch my shirts and touch my hats and my sweatshirts. And I remember how I felt. There was good, bad, and ugly. There was no one there that was like, you know, facetious or like vicious or anything. But hearing them touch my, oh, this is so soft. Oh, I love this design. Jimmy would love this. Or like, oh, this is really super soft. Or this is, you know, you're getting that feedback. Oh, this, I wish the tag was removed. Or like, you're just hearing them like in that booth, in that proximity. I didn't tell them I was the owner or the founder. You know, I just was like working the booth. And the value that you get from being able to just like, yeah, get unalterated feedback from your customers is literally the key to success. So I'm super excited about this. I will tell you that. I do want to get back to what you said. You said you found a purpose in life and you'd share that with us if we cared to know. So knowing, knowing where Rank Bell's going, I feel like we've covered that. And for anyone that wants to know, we'll definitely let them know where to check that out. But you know, as a founder, as an entrepreneur, trying to figure the same things out myself, like, and I've never heard anyone talk about the Amazon space moving into it because they wanted to help more people at scale. Although that's something that I very much enjoy out of my job and our team. I don't know that I've ever verbalized it like that. Tell me about that. Tell me more about that. Tell me where you're at with your goals.
So, you know, for Amazon, I'm still doing that. And, you know, we were focusing on ranking products to page one. And it's great. You get your product to page one, position one. And the question that I got literally 9 out of 10 every time, but Isabella, now that you got me here, how do I stay here? And, you know, I would give them the answer that everybody does. Make sure your pictures are great. Make sure your listing is great. Make sure you have this, this, this. But in all reality, you never really know what can take you down, which is why we added this new thing where now not only we're ranking you to page one, but we're going to keep you there. And we're going to keep you there, not on my powers, but on the actual consumers, the buyers, those who actually are interested in your product. So with that being said, I'm still helping people becoming financially free and actually keep them there so they can grow. But my purpose in life is way bigger than that. So, you know, I love Amazon. And for those that are listening, you mentioned it. Amazon is great. You should get into it. I still think there's a lot more growth to happen. So don't be afraid. The only ones that should be afraid are the ones that don't want to be consistent and don't want to put in the work. Any type of business you choose, you're going to have to, you know, struggle. So, but you're struggling right now into 8 to 5 and you come home and you just, you know, you're happier home. So you choose your struggle. You want to struggle and be, you know, sad and with all the work that you already have, or be struggling and sad at times with a business running. So you choose your struggle. Now, I realized over the past, we talked about this a little bit before going live, but for the past 2 years, and mostly for the past year, I started asking myself all these questions like, what am I doing on this earth? I mean, yeah, money's great. I love money. I told you that before. Like, I will openly admit that I love money. Money's great. Money buys me everything I want. But what is there else out there that I am not looking at? And I believe that we all humans come here on earth to help other humans. Legit, that's what I think. So I, you know, knowing this in my head, I was like, okay, so what is my contribution to this world? What is it that I am put here on earth to do that will leave a legacy, that will leave the earth better than I found it? And I realized that mine is to inspire people, to give them this flicker of light inside their hearts and their souls where they're like, you know what? I can do more. I am inspired to do more. And, you know, a lot of people are not awakened to this possibilities. You know, they are stuck in that, in that run of, you know, achieving the next job, the next career, have more kids, get married, get a car, get a house. And it's like very few people zoom out. You know what I mean? Very few people zoom out and they can actually look at the big picture. And that's what I've been trying to do. And I think I have the ability, from what I've been told and what I feel in my heart, to inspire people, you know, especially with my story and your story and other people's story, is if I can tell somebody that they have the power within themselves to change, to create a better life for themselves, even that one small thing is going to add value into my life. And if my goal now is to inspire a billion people to understand that they have this amazing power within themselves to become better at whatever they want, and if I'm able to achieve this on this earth at this time, I will be very happy. And that is my legacy. And I realize that when you think of the bigger picture, like, we are all here to support other humans, all of these little things that we're doing, you know, get more business, get more sales, create that collab with that person, and then I'm stressed, and then I go to sleep and I'm depressed, and somebody said this about me. And when you zoom out and you realize that it's really not all that serious, you have better perspective on what is going on. So yeah, as I said, Amazon is great. You know, I have a family, I have cars, I have my, you know, vacations or not, or fights with friends, or whatever I have, is just human things that we go through every day. But once in a while, zoom out, is like, what is my bigger purpose on this life? And I think if we could all people on earth, if we could all zoom out in that sense and say, what is it that I'm here to do on earth, without thinking financially, without thinking of anything, what anybody thinks, I think we can all find out what it is. Like, I was talking to a friend today, and, you know, I said to him, I think your purpose in this world is to make people laugh. Like, he's a comedian. He's always been drawn to that. So you see, we all have that, and we could all have the same one, you know, like, you're inspiring people with your podcast, you know, you're inspiring people with your story of being in, you know, in Africa and everything that we do. So you see, we all have a bigger purpose. It's just we never really take the time to see what that is. And that purpose is bigger than Amazon. That purpose is bigger than all our houses and all the money that we have and everything that we have in this world. And I, you know, I discovered this about myself. I want to inspire people. I want to leave people better than I found it.
I love that. I love that. And I, you know, I, on my Instagram, haven't been posting a lot of content just because I've been so inward this last year, I think, and just focused and having a lot of internal dialogue with myself instead of with others. But if you look at my hashtags, it's the legacy chapter. And it's something that I've been, you know, it's kind of one of my own hashtags that I've just had for the last few years as I'm building, you know, for the future, and really feel like we're right in the middle of creating that legacy. And what do you want it to be, and how do you want it to be remembered? So super nice to be aligned with you. I love the Amazon space because it brings us together. And I know that, I think we're on the cruise, the online seller cruise, in February. So that will be fun. If anyone hasn't signed up or wants to look into that, Carlos the Wizard down in Miami is hosting an online seller cruise. Isabella is going to be one of the speakers there, as well as myself. So that's going to be a lot of fun. I think that's at least the next one that I know of, that we're on together. But I will have all the information for RankBell. Isabella, what's the best channel for someone to contact you if they're interested in the new service or the Search, Find, Buy service, or just getting a chance to know you and follow your journey? In case you can give them that little flicker of light that they need, you know, where can people contact you? What's the best spot to get you?
Thank you for that. Probably Facebook. I'm pretty active there. Just Isabella Hamilton. And my name is spelled a little differently because, you know, Romanian. Izabella instead of S and double L. So just Isabella Hamilton. And you can go to the website rankbell.com, RANKBELL. Right now, it's actually down. It's not down. Like, it's still working. I just took it down because we are, you know, rebranding and moving, pivoting towards this more amazing service that is going to be encompassing a lot more than just ranking a product. And I think it would be good for people to check it out, at least, if anything.
I love it. And I'll be talking more about that. I'm sure we'll probably do some kind of case study together or a co-webinar so we can learn more about that service with Marknology. Once again, shout out to our sponsor for today's episode, Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Isabella, I could talk all day, but we're going to sign off. Thanks again for being on the show.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
Startup Hustle is brought to you by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Make sure you reach down and hit that subscribe button, then come find us on Instagram. See you next time.